The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome to Happy Hour. Many of you know that I'm Diana Clark. Those of you who don't know, I'm Diana Clark. And I teach Happy Hour with Nikki Mercafori. We, in general, alternate weeks. Doesn't always, it's not perfectly every other week, but you'll know that if there's another person up here, it's often Nikki. And we teach loving kindness or the Brahma-Vihara practice, usually in the context of a meditation practice. And that's what we'll be doing today. I'll be guiding us through some loving kindness meditation as a way to cultivate, develop our capacity for our mind and our heart to feel loving kindness. I'm going to adjust the volume. For me, it feels a little bit low. And especially with my voice like this, I don't want to have to feel like I have to yell or anything. It's a little bit louder now, right? Yeah. There we go. That's a little bit easier for me. And sometimes when I'm giving instructions or talking about cultivating loving kindness, I say that the benefits or the effects of developing loving kindness maybe doesn't show up during meditation. Maybe it shows up in your daily life. Maybe during the meditation you may feel like, well, that was a dud, nothing happened, or gosh, that was awful. That was really hard. I couldn't quite get my mind there, or I fell asleep for the whole time. So just some encouragement that it's not the power of this isn't necessarily what happens during the meditation period. And one way that doing this practice can show up in your daily life, not the only way, but one way it can show up, is that you find yourself when you're encountering a difficult person or mildly annoying person, maybe an irritating situation. For example, you're standing in line and the person behind you is talking really loud on their cell phone or, you know, something like that. Maybe you have first you have this flash of irritation, but then maybe the phrases come to mind. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be safe. May you live with ease. So it may be the phrases of these intention, these wishes of loving kindness spontaneously show up, and you're able to have a little bit different relationship to that person that's otherwise would be irritating, annoying, or could be a flashpoint for some anger. This is kind of a beautiful thing that just happens, where we can get constricted and tight, filled with irritation and maybe some self-righteousness. How dare they? Don't this person understand how loud they are and how it's annoying me and they should be more considerate? I don't know. We can build these huge stories, right, about the person behind and how they don't really understand how important the proper etiquette is to, when talking on one's cell phone. But sometimes we may say these phrases when we encounter a difficult person, not as a opening of our heart, not as a way to kind of like shift our experience to something that's a little more filled with gratitude and filled with openness and care, love, but kind of as a way to hit the moment over the head with the sledgehammer and disconnect from our experience. May you be happy. May you be healthy. You know, just we kind of think that saying these phrases, we use it as a tool to, as an antidote, we think that's going to cure everything that's happening. So rather than a way to maybe soften and open our hearts, it's a way to still be contracted. But then we add on this idea, well, I'm being very spiritual, so I better, you know, it's a good thing I'm saying this, but not noticing the attitude that we have, not noticing how we're using this wish for loving kindness as a sledgehammer to kind of try to make the situation be different. And this way, if we find ourselves using these phrases, may you be happy, or every time we feel irritated, the person cuts us off in traffic, whatever it might be, we can just check in with ourselves. Is this just a way to disconnect from our experience? Or is it a way to connect in with warmth? Is it a way for us to just feel self-righteous and create more distance from the person that's a little bit difficult or irritating us? Or is it a way for us to kind of open up and feel some warmth and care? There's so many ways in which we can use our, I'll use this word, spiritual practices to help us find more freedom, to help us find more ease, to help us show up in the world and what in a way that's of benefit to other people and benefit to ourselves. But these exact same practices can also be used as a way to bypass our experience, as a way to not really connect with what's actually happening, as a way to not look at our own experience. This has an expression, spiritual bypassing. Probably all of us do it. I know I did in the beginning. I kind of felt like, okay, I'm going to meditate. I found meditation as a way for me to not feel some of the other difficulties that were happening in my life. It's fine. I think all of us do this to some extent. So this is just an invitation to just check in. When we're saying the phrases, I'm talking about primarily in daily life. Are we using it as a way to help us feel love, connection, warmth, and care with others? Love, connection, warmth, and care for ourselves? Or are we using it as a way to disconnect from what's actually happening? This whole idea of spiritual bypassing, using loving kindness phrases, in some ways kind of like builds a barrier between us and the truth of the moment. The truth of the moment is that we're irritated. The truth of the moment that we feel frightened or uncertain. I'm not saying we have to dwell in the irritation or the fear or whatever it might be, but the way forward is to acknowledge what's actually happening. So maybe it could be this acknowledgement that, yeah, I'm feeling afraid, I'm feeling irritated. That person behind me talking on the phone is reminding me of something unpleasant, or maybe these feelings in the body that arises with the irritation, all these other feelings get glommed on it. So can we allow ourselves to be aware of, be in touch with the truth, the reality of the moment, and not use loving kindness phrases as a way to shield us from the moment? I'm not saying don't use loving kindness phrases. I think it's a beautiful, fantastic practice, and I do it myself. But just check in and notice how you're using it, when you use it. Are you finding more freedom? Are you finding more ease? Are you finding more warmth? Are you finding more beauty? Are you finding more grace when you use it? Or is it helping to cement this idea of, like, I know it's right and that person over there clearly doesn't? So not only does it shield us from the truth, it also can, like, disconnect us from our feelings. There's just a little bit of irritation, or may you be happy, may you be healthy, or whatever phrase we might use, doesn't allow us to feel our feelings. Again, I'm not saying we have to dwell in our feelings. I'm saying just as best we can to stop pretending that they're not there, or to stop wishing that they're not there, as best we can. Maybe one last thing I'll say about this too is that sometimes if we are finding a little uncomfortable situation and we talk a little bit, or and we start to say the phrases, may you be happy, and with a heart that's constricted, and we find ourselves staying constricted. I'm using this word constricted, which kind of is a vague meaning, as a little aside. You can interpret that in whatever way makes sense for you. But when we do that, it doesn't allow us to see the big picture of what's happening. Kind of the totality of what's happening. There's always so many things happening all the time. And sometimes we might be just focusing on the whatever's irritating us. But at the same time, there's probably some neutral experiences, feeling our feet on the ground. If we're standing in line, maybe the person in front of us in line is perfectly neutral. Maybe the reason why we're standing in line is neutral, paying for the groceries, doing something at the bank, whatever it might be. So I just offer this. I don't want to suggest that you shouldn't do loving kindness practice. Here the encouragement is just notice how you use them, when you use them. And I don't want to also say that you must stay in the most difficult feelings, you must experience the most uncomfortable experiences. That may not be wise. We may get into some overwhelm with that. So use your wisdom, maybe just to touch in, like, wow, okay, this is a trigger point for me. Maybe I'll feel my feet on the ground, connect with my breath, and as best I can, I'll try to wish this person well, but maybe it's a little bit hard, so maybe I'll do some loving kindness where it's easy, where somebody that's easy for me to feel love, care, and respect. So with that as maybe a kind of a long introduction, I'll say a few words about this loving kindness practice. Those of you who have been coming here regularly know this. I'm going to talk a little bit about how there's three aspects, three elements to the practice. One is to bring to mind somebody for whom you have the intention to develop, cultivate loving kindness. Bring to mind means often having a visual picture, but whatever makes sense to you. And I'll say for myself, I'm visualizing is not the easiest for me. And I discover that it doesn't have to be a high definition image of a person. It can just be a sense of them, this kind of vague sense of them. The second element is to check in with the sensations in the body. Not always, but often there's a feeling of warmth or openness or a softening or a loosening up with loving kindness practice. And the third element is to repeat the phrases. I'll be guiding us in this, but the phrases is a way in which to kind of remind our mind and our bodies that what we're doing now is cultivating loving kindness. For those of you who have a mindfulness practice, and we often bring our mind back to the sensations of breathing, in the same way with loving kindness, the phrases are a way to help us bring us back to our intentions of cultivating loving kindness. Today we'll start loving kindness where it's easy. someone, somebody, some being for whom it's easy to feel love, care, respect, warmth. And then we'll move on and to include ourselves. Okay, so to begin our meditation practice, it can be helpful to take 3 long, slow, deep breaths. It might be with these longer exhales, a sense of letting go or softening, relaxing. And especially with loving kindness practice, it's helpful if there can be a certain amount of ease in the body. So as best you can check in with the body and see if there's some obvious places of tension, tightness, soreness maybe. You've sat down and realized, oh, you know, it would be so much better if I had a cushion or I adjusted my posture. You're welcome to do so. Get a cushion, change your posture, sit somewhere else in the room, move the chair. You can check in with areas around the eyes and the jaw. We hold a lot of tension in our face often. Sometimes we put our shoulders up around our ears. Is there a way you can let the shoulder blades slide down the back? And feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion or the ground against your body. Feel grounded. You're connected here. With your feet, you can also feel your feet on the ground, another place you're connected and steadied, grounded. And we'll do a little bit of mindfulness of the sensations of breathing, just as a way to help us to continue to settle. So you can just bring your awareness very simply, gently, to the sensations of breathing, that is, the movement of the abdomen or the movement of the chest. Or maybe the feeling of the air going in and out of the nose. Whatever feels the most vivid, the most accessible, the most supportive, just choose one of those areas and just hang out there. Like feeling the sensations from the inside. Not so much thinking about breathing, but feeling, sensing, experiencing. most likely your mind likes to slip off of the sensations of breathing. No problem. Just very simply, gently come back and begin again. Now to begin the loving kindness meditation. But before we do, I'll say that this practice, mindfulness of the sensations of breathing, can always be a refuge, an anchor, a respite if you feel overwhelmed, if you feel confused, not sure what to do. For whatever reason, you can always come back to this practice. Mindfulness of the sensations of breathing. And then to begin loving kindness practice, bring to mind somebody or some being for whom it's easy to feel love, care, warmth, respect, benevolence, goodwill, friendliness. Helpful to choose an individual with whom you have an uncomplicated relationship. This might mean you don't know the person. Maybe you know of them. Maybe they're a spiritual leader. Maybe it's kittens, babies, and puppies or help you to feel warmth. That's perfectly fine. So bringing the lovable being to mind, can check in with the body. There might be some warmth or opening at the heart center. There might not be. That's also perfectly fine. If there is, allow that warmth or openness or spaciousness to be there and to support you. And then to support our intention of cultivating loving kindness, you can repeat silently in your mind after me these phrases, which support our intention for warmth, care, love, respect. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. If you'd like, you could check in with your body. See if there is any feelings of warmth or openness or spaciousness. Maybe in the heart center, in the chest, maybe in the belly. As I said, it's perfectly okay if it's not there. But if it is there, can you allow that sensation to get as big as it would like? We're allowing, we're not making or forcing. We're just making space for this openness or warmth to grow. Maybe bring into mind the lovable being again. Can we turn to the phrases? May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. If you'd like, you can modify the phrases using words that are more resonant, more meaningful, more touching for you. And of course, it doesn't have to be in English. It can be whatever the language is of your heart. Whatever the language is for connection. And I'll be silent here just for a bit. You can use your own pace, maybe your own words. And then to build on this loving kindness that we're cultivating for a lovable being. We'll just enlarge our circle of loving kindness, our sphere of loving kindness, to include ourselves. Sometimes we neglect ourselves. Maybe we find it difficult to love, care, respect, have warmth for ourselves. This can be a practice. We can use loving kindness practice to support us and not succumbing to the self-critical voice. So in the same way, bring a sense of yourself to mind. This can be either visualize, like a vision of visual field of yourself, either how you are today, a younger version of yourself. Some people find it helpful to do it when they were young, children, even toddlers. Or you can bring a sense of what is it like to sit here now, just the felt experience of being here. Whichever way is most accessible and the most supportive for you. And you can check in with the, see if there's any sensations of the body with this shift towards ourself. Is there anything new or different? If so, can you just allow it to be there? In some way, can we begin this practice of loving kindness for ourselves by accepting whatever our bodily experience is at this moment? As best we can. As best we can. And then to support us in cultivating loving kindness for ourselves, we'll just change the pronoun and the phrases. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Again, you can just sense into the bodily experience. Is there any, maybe it's a little corner of your experience, a more relaxation or some ease, warmth, openness, spaciousness, feeling of untangling? Doesn't have to be your dominant experience, just a little corner of your experience perhaps. Maybe it is your dominant experience. And again, it's perfectly fine if it's not there. But if it is there, can you sink into it? Feel it? Experience it? Allowing it to be there. And allowing it to get bigger, if it would like. And you can use the bodily sensations of warmth and care, openness to support you. As you continue to cultivate, develop loving kindness for yourself. And then let's do a little bit of equanimity practice. Sometimes we may find ourselves leaning way in. Our wish for others to be happy, somehow we take it on as our job, our responsibility, our, I don't know how to, what the words are exactly, but we take it on as a project or something we're supposed to do. Right now we're just cultivating the mind and the heart's capacity for loving kindness. We're cultivating this capacity, ability for openness and warmth. We all have this. All of us have this. A little equanimity practice sometimes is helpful. So for this practice, you can bring to mind somebody that perhaps you have a relationship with that's just a little bit irritating, bothersome, annoying, not the most difficult person in your life, but just someone sometimes you find yourself a little bit irritated with. So bring this person to mind. Maybe it's a friend of yours, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a coworker. And we'll use different phrases for this. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. And then to end this meditation, feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So in those words before the meditation I talked about, here's my voice again. I talked about how sometimes in our daily life, unlike here in meditation, where we are intentionally, purposefully using the phrases, touching into sensations in the body is a way to cultivate and develop loving kindness. But sometimes we may then start to use this as a way to stop feeling or being with what's happening in the rest of our life, as opposed, in addition to maybe cultivating this capacity. So it's a wonderful practice to explore, like, how, what is our relationship to loving kindness? When do we use it in meditation? When do we use it in daily life? What are the different roles that it has for us? What are the beliefs we have around its power, the expectations we have? This can be a really rich place to explore. So for today's meditation, as I usually do, I started us checking in with the body a little bit, then did some mindfulness of breathing, loving kindness for a lovable being, loving kindness for ourselves, then a little bit of equanimity practice to, as a way to maybe counteract any tendencies that many of us have, like wanting to fix or make something in particular happen, but instead to cultivate some respect and care for the autonomy of other people. We can't make their decisions. They get to make their own decisions. It can be enormously helpful to talk about one's practice, to explore it with other people. There's absolutely no requirement to talk about your deepest, darkest experiences, your most intimate, most important experiences, but it can be helpful to just, sometimes when we're asked to say out loud what our experience is, when we're forced to like formulate sentences and think about it, we discover something new. I know I often have that case sometimes when I'm thinking about what I'm going to say up here as an example. Like I find myself saying things like, oh, right, yeah. But it wasn't until I was asked to put it together that I really could, you know, organize my thoughts and think about it and express it and share it. So I like to invite you to get into groups of three. And in these groups, please do not give advice to each other. Nobody came here for some advice of exactly how to do things. Well, that's my assumption. I don't know, but just in case you didn't come here. And use this as an opportunity to learn something about your experience and opportunity to maybe formulate some ideas. It's perfectly okay. You're allowed to say, I have no idea what she was talking about. I slept the whole time. This is boring. And do you know where the best restaurant is around here? That's fine. That's part of, you know, that's the truth of the moment. That's the reality of the moment. Or you could share something, the questions that you have. So just an encouragement to get into groups of three. And it can be helpful, like one person talks maybe for, you know, 2 minutes, and then another person talks for 2 minutes, and then the third person talks for 2 minutes. Please don't dominate and don't feel like you have to tell really long, complicated stories. This is just an opportunity to share. How was this experience for you today? So if you could get into groups of three, that'd be great. So I just want to take this opportunity to thank all of you. It's meaningful for me that people come together and want to cultivate and practice and develop loving kindness. It's part of my aspiration in the world to help bring kind of more care and warmth. And it's very meaningful for me that you all are here. So it's 7:00. Normally I would like hear back from you guys, but I ran things a little bit late today. So I'll stay up here if you have some questions or comments. Otherwise, I wish you all a wonderful evening, and may you have safety and health and happiness, and may you live with ease. Thank you.